Schwani, you sound so professional.
Well, I've got to like get it right at some point.
You sound like a professional newscaster.
Well, I've got to do something correct here. So, well, thank you very much. That's a very positive way to start off the morning. You sound like a very professional program host.
I am Mr. Positivity.
Boy, oh boy.
I am nothing but positivity.
And why is that?
I don't know. Got a good night's sleep, I guess. I don't know.
Okay, that helps. Well, that helps a great deal, as a matter of fact.
And I didn't have to deal with any of the downtown NASCAR traffic.
That's a big plus right there, too, yes.
Do you miss us?
Andy, are you there?
Yeah, I'm here.
How are
there.
You, Andy?
I'm good.
Andy and I are both at the TV station this morning.
That's why you're in a good mood, because you didn't have to deal with me.
Andy, how about it? A five-minute commute?
Yeah, 6 minutes. I caught one light. That was it.
Yeah, it was. I gotta say, I mean, I don't know why the listeners would care about our commute. We try to make this show mostly about us.
Well, yeah.
But, to not deal with it, you're already downtown. You're one of those people that you're already downtown.
But when we have the NASCAR event here, there's no fairly quick way. You do need to navigate around it.
Yeah.
You do need to navigate around it.
And this is just the beginning, because after this, it's Lollapalooza, and there's just like nothing but...
That's a month away now.
Yeah, you may not see Andy and I till Christmas.
Yeah, that's right. We've got the big hootenanny coming up here next month.
Big hootenanny? Is that Lollapalooza?
Yes. That's my term
the
for
big
it.
Big hootenanny.
The hootenanny. The hullabaloo.
I'm going to mention that to Perry Farrell. So have they started? Is there anything going on?
Well, they just opened the gates. So they'll get started here in about an hour and a half, 2 hours. They just opened up. Things are starting to...
It starts at 1, doesn't it?
Yeah, race starts at 1.
The race starts at 1 o'clock?
Mm-hmm.
All right. Well, we miss you, Schwani.
Oh.
Yes, we do.
Do you?
Yeah.
Well, thank you.
Well, sort of.
I actually miss you guys here. Jess is here in
I'll
the newsroom with
it's
me.
Quiet
and it's
there.
Engineer Bob.
Yeah.
It is very quiet around here.
Yeah.
But
you know that Andy is he's a whirlwind.
Yes, he is.
A whirlwind.
He's a whirlwind when he comes into the office.
Yes, he is. You know I'm there.
I thought as a big feature on the show today, we would do a live segment called "Let's Go Through Larry Potash's Desk."
Cool. I can follow
and
it up.
What
with
did you find?
I can follow it up with "Let's Go Through Amanda Czernecki's stuff here."
Yeah, that would be good. Andy's back in the weather office.
Yeah,
and I'm at my station where I do my segment with Bob Surratt every morning, every weekday morning from 8 to 8:30.
I see.
So,
of course,
again, I don't know why listeners would care about where we are, but we are.
Well, and of course, I'm having trouble visualizing these locations because
you've never been
I've
here.
Never been invited.
Yeah, that's true.
Not disputing.
No, I know.
Well, you have a newsroom to run.
I have a newsroom
to
run, but
you couldn't come.
There are plenty of other times when I don't have a newsroom to run that I could be invited to come in.
Do you want to?
Of course I want to.
It's not that exciting.
I haven't been in there since high school.
Since Bozo?
No, it wasn't
since
Bozo.
You came to Bozo.
My high school choir sang on a Christmas Eve show.
Is that right? Really?
Yes, they did. This would have been 1973, my senior year.
Wow.
And every Christmas Eve, they would select a few area high school choirs to come in and sing. And ours was one of them. So we went in a few weeks in advance and recorded. But the show ran Christmas Eve, right around, I don't know, between 9 and 10, something like that. So I was actually there in the WGN studios, and one of the stage managers took us to into the studio where they did Bozo, because Bozo was still there very much at the time.
Sure, of course. Steal anything while you were here?
No, nope, didn't do that.
Any paper clips, anything?
Didn't take anything at all like that, no. Didn't go through anyone's desk.
Well, we're changing that this morning. What's in Larry Potash's desk is going to be the big highlight.
Does Larry know this?
Larry does not.
He will.
Know this. So let's take a break, and then we'll come back, and we'll go down what we have on the show today, and we'll rub it in a little more that Andy and I didn't have to deal with the traffic, and you did. That's all coming up next. It's Dean Richards Sunday morning on WGN. Broadcasting live from two fabulous locations this morning. It's Dean Richards Sunday morning on WGN, live at the WGN television this morning, 2501 West Bradley Place, joined by Andy Mazur, back in our, let's just say our sports department.
Okay.
You're really in the weather and traffic area, but it sounds more official, doesn't it?
Much more theater of the mind, yes.
Yeah. Yeah, Andy back in our WGN TV sports department, and good old Schwanny at his station.
Newsroom Central.
Newsroom Central in downtown Chicago.
Yep. Here we are.
Where all the action is. All the latest NASCAR
details. Yeah, you just
details.
Have to go a few blocks south, and that is where the action is.
It literally is, yeah. Right? Yeah. Mm-hmm. Yeah, we decided that this might be a nice alternative instead of dealing with road closures, because there are tons of road closures downtown this morning. Am I correct?
Oh, all don't even, if you don't have to be downtown, don't come in, because, first of all, southbound Lake DuSable Lakeshore Drive from around Monroe, totally closed. And likewise coming
both
north.
Both directions?
Yeah, well, it will be when you get up to Roosevelt, because the track runs around DuSable Lakeshore Drive.
Wow.
And Michigan Avenue in that area closed off. So just envision all of Grant Park, that whole area there, the south boundary, the north boundary, completely closed for this event. You have to go around it. You don't have a choice.
What would be an alternative? You'd have to take State Street?
Yes, State Street.
North or south?
State Street and Wabash.
Street and Wabash.
Yeah.
All right.
Those would be the other alternatives.
All right.
I have to tell you this. When they started this 3 years ago, we had a meeting. Dandy probably would remember this. We had a meeting here in Newsroom Central and, you know, discussing alternative ways to get into and out of the building and what we would have to do in order to, you know, minimize the headaches. And I was dreading coming in, you know, thinking it was just going to be gridlock downtown.
Right.
But when I would leave work, you know, in the middle of the afternoon on a Saturday and or a Sunday, it wasn't all that bad. As long as I could get to State Street, I was okay.
Yeah.
So, yes, the only alternatives, if you're headed north or south and you want to go through this portion of downtown, Wabash and State Street, or any point west, that's it.
You're not going to be able to do it on DuSable Lakeshore Drive.
Nope, you're not.
Yeah, this is just our warm-up for the marathon.
Right, yeah, marathon. And well, they don't close Lakeshore Drive for Lollapalooza.
No.
But yeah, it's. I mean, these huge downtown events, you know, which I've gone on record as saying how much I love over the years.
Heavy quotation marks. Over
there was another. Wasn't there another deep tunnel project that was dug between your house and the station here, so you could get in during the marathon?
Oh, I have my secret secret passageway. But now that I can do it from here, from Bradley Place, from the TV station, why even bother?
You've got it laid out.
I can do everything right here. I'm in my usual surroundings. Doing the TV morning show.
And you have everybody waiting on you? You have breakfast served at your desk?
Tons of producers, yes. Tons of my assistant is here. My assistant's assistant is here.
Mm-hmm. Did you have your chauffeur drive you in this morning?
I'd like to drive myself on a Sunday morning. I give the chauffeur the day off.
He didn't make you drive, Andy?
No, I did not have to drive, but it was a lot of gridlock just to get to Dean to let him know I was here. I had to go through all those layers of security and red tape and things of that nature, but Dean was actually happy to see me, so it was good.
Yeah. Okay.
Yeah.
All right.
Yeah.
One of these days I will be invited.
You think so? You must have a special in with Robin Baumgarten or something. No, you have to be there to, you're at News Central. You can't just abandon your position.
No, I can't.
Not during the show.
No.
But
nope.
You're right. I could invite you some other time.
That's my point.
Yeah. To come, take a tour. Is that what you want?
Well, sure. A tour or, maybe watch you on the show.
Mm.
You know.
Oh, yeah. That wouldn't be awkward. That wouldn't be weird and awkward.
I could make faces at you just like you used to make faces at the people walking by.
At the little kids. I didn't make them at people, like the adults. I made funny faces at the little kids.
Kids, when you worked in the...
To make them laugh.
Now, what is now the mattress store?
The mattress store on Michigan Avenue, right? Mm-hmm. You're more than welcome anytime.
Well, that's finally nice to hear. Yeah, thank you.
As long as I'm not here.
Okay, Andy, you can take me through that.
Yeah, Andy can take it. Andy's got a pass. He can get you.
Pass, yeah.
We have a short show today because in addition to NASCAR that we've got going on just blocks away from where Schwani is, we've got some Indy 500 action today, or Indianapolis action, I should say.
Right? IndyCar racing. It's the Indy 200 at Mid-Ohio.
200?
Yeah.
Okay. And that's at 11:30?
11:30, yes.
Starts at 11:30.
Mid-Ohio? Where is it in Ohio, Andy?
Right in the middle of Ohio.
Thus the term mid-Ohio.
Thank you. Thank you.
Okay. I'm guessing not Cincinnati.
No, that would be southern Ohio. Yeah. About as far south as you can get.
Correct.
In Ohio.
Not familiar with my Ohio the way I should be.
Or if some people say Ohio.
Ohio.
Ohio. Where are you from, Ohio?
Andy, have you been to the NFL Football Hall of Fame thing at Canton, Ohio?
Yeah. Mm-hmm. Yes, it's impressive. That and Cooperstown are two of my favorite places for the Baseball Hall of Fame.
So Mid-Ohio, I'm looking at a map now, would be Columbus.
Ah.
That's pretty much Mid-Ohio. Cincinnati way south, Cleveland way north.
Let's see if I can get an official... destination and location. Lexington, Ohio. Hello.
So that at 11:30 this morning, we'll have the IndyCar action from Lexington, Ohio this morning, which means that we'll end this show a little early today. And then Andy and I can go out for breakfast.
Correct. Where are we going?
You want to join us, Schwani?
Oh, I thought you'd never ask. Not invited to the TV station. I'm not invited to breakfast.
We should spend more time in Ohio.
Especially Lexington.
Have we never done the show in Ohio?
Never done in the show in Ohio.
Of all the places that we've said we were going to do the show but never did, have we never done the show in
Ohio? No, we haven't.
Any place in Ohio? Cedar Point?
Cedar Point would be perfect.
Isn't that a good, a good place?
Cedar Point, all along the northern... border of the state along Lake Erie. That's nice there.
Yeah.
Sandusky's a neat town.
The NFL Hall of Fame would be a great place to do the show, wouldn't it?
Terrific.
Just before Hampton OB starts,
we could do Hampton OB there.
Yeah.
We could do them there.
You can do it right next to Hamp's plaque.
How about that? How cool is that?
Mm-hmm.
You go to the NFL Hall of Fame and a plaque with your faces on it.
It's It's pretty impressive.
That's pretty cool.
Yeah. It's kind of daunting to walk through those halls. Those halls and the halls of the Baseball Hall of Fame.
I agree.
Nothing but history.
It's all history, and you just feel so immersed in all of it that you didn't even have to see those gentlemen play because you've heard so much about them, and then you read on the plaques, and it's pretty cool.
Yeah. Well, they're you know, it's part of Americana. Mm-hmm. It's very much a part of Americana. So anyhow, that's what we've got coming up at 11:30 this morning. We've got many of the regular features today. We'll squeeze into a slightly abbreviated show, including our weekend health segment with Dr. Jeremy Silver in a few minutes. We will get into the week in theater today with the director of the new production of A Color Purple, The Color Purple, which is back in Chicago, this time at the Goodman Theater. We'll talk about that. We'll talk about the movies for the weekend. And, yeah, I think that should cover it. Shwani, I think that'll cover it.
All right. I'm all in.
He's on board.
Did you do anything fun for the 4th of July?
No.
You didn't see any fireworks?
Heard them in the neighborhood, but I didn't see any, no.
That's sad. How about you, Andy?
On the 4th itself, no. We were just protecting our poor dog Otis's ears from
everything
that was going on around us. The poor little guy was quite frightened.
And, shivering, shaking.
Yeah, it's not fun. But, you know, obviously people want to blow off fireworks on 4th of July. Go ahead and do it. But it was basically from noon until about 3 a.m. that they were going on.
Right.
But so on the 4th itself, no. But last night we went to Ravinia to see Chicago.
How about that?
Oh.
It was pretty good.
How about
good.
That? How yeah, about
they,
that?
They sounded great. It was hotter than you know what out there.
I saw some of your pictures that you posted. And,
melting.
It was. It looked absolutely packed.
It was.
And I know how hot it was because I was at a barbecue last night and I was trying to stay inside the house.
Yeah.
In the true spirit of the 4th of July, I was trying to sit in front of the air conditioner for most of the night. But I'm sure it was great. And don't those guys still sound great?
They sound fantastic.
After all these years?
They sound so good. And, you know, all the classics that they played two sets. So they did a lot of their older stuff in the first set. They took about a 20-minute break and came back on. And it was like hit central from that time on until the end of the show. And everybody was having a blast. And I tell you what, I give Ravinia folks a lot of credit. When you were coming in, the security folks were saying, if you feel like you need to get into the cool air, they had a cooling center there waiting for at the theater. You could go in there and just kind of sit back and get yourself
cool
regulated
off.
Again.
Yeah.
But it was hot. But I don't think anybody really cared because everybody was having a great time.
It was very looked very nice. Looked really
yeah, it was fun.
Looked like you had a nice spread of food at your area also.
Yeah. See, now, we glom on because our friends Mike and Olivia, they just they take control of several of our events out there, and they catered for us. We had a little barbecue going on. We had a bunch of stuff. It was fantastic. The desserts were ridiculously good.
I saw the barbecue.
Yeah.
I saw, looked like a mac and cheese, maybe.
Yeah, it was a little gratin potatoes. Some coleslaw.
Yeah, it looked nice.
Great watermelon for dessert. It was really, really sweet and really good.
Shwani, you know what else they had, I noticed, in the photos?
What's that?
Candelabras.
Oh, I've seen those up there.
Big time. Candelabras.
I've seen those up there, sure.
That's fancy. When you go to Ravinia and you bring candelabras.
You know you're doing it right.
You mean business then.
Yeah, you know you're doing it right when people are walking by and taking pictures of your setup.
Yeah.
And they were doing that all night.
Yeah, that's not you just show up with a sub sandwich.
No, that's not at all.
Well, good. It sounds like you had a great time, and I've seen the group Chicago so many times, and I know that even after all these years, Shwani, think about this now, because you're the music historian. The group Chicago started, what, about 1967?
Yep.
And first hits were around 1969, 1970.
That's right.
How many years these guys have been touring and playing the same music in their concerts through the years, and still sounding amazing.
Yeah, it is really, really an achievement. I've seen interviews with the guys, and Robert Lamb has said they still don't get tired of it, And that I think it was Jim Panko, who plays the trombone, said that oftentimes these days they have three generations in families that attend. Wow. The grandparents were into the music early on, the parents, and then the kids of the parents, all three generations, go to these concerts.
Right.
It's tremendous.
Yep. Well, good. Glad you had a good time. And that begs the question, does anybody really know what time it is?
It's 9:29, 29 minutes past 9 o'clock.
Time for a break, the news, and the far-flung forecast next. Oh, it's time once again for everyone's favorite, a 4th of July favorite, the far-flung forecast. It's what our founding fathers were talking about when they were signing the Declaration of Independence. And putting it all, one day there will be a report which is heard on this station at this time every week.
In a city that hadn't even been formed yet.
In a city that does not even exist yet, by people who are not even born yet. Yet, it's what America waits for each week. The far-flung forecast. Here's Dave Schwann.
Wow, what an introduction.
Here's John Hancock Schwann.
Thank you so much. And friends and neighbors, get out your compasses and protractors and newfangled devices.
I have a red, white, and blue protractor this week.
Oh, that's very appropriate.
Yeah.
Very appropriate. Because we head east and somewhat north to Bristol, Rhode Island.
Hmm.
Bristol, Rhode Island.
Bristol,
and
Rhode Island.
Boy, I have to tell you, your introduction just fits exactly in with the subject of our far-flung forecast.
I was paying attention during rehearsal.
Boy, that's a first.
What, rehearsal?
No, paying attention.
Oh.
Bristol, Rhode Island has a population of 22,000. It's a beautiful deep-sea seaport on the coast. Originally, the area was part of Massachusetts, and then in the 1700s was annexed for Rhode Island. It does go back to the 1740s and 1750s when it was first settled. But we mentioned Bristol, Rhode Island because Bristol, Rhode Island has the oldest continuous celebration of a 4th of July parade in the United States.
Really?
It began in 1785, which was like 2 years after the end of the Revolutionary War, when a Reverend Henry White of the First Congregational Church and a veteran of the war conducted what they called the first patriotic exercises.
Hmm.
So Bristol, Rhode Island has a history of that. And this past 4th, it was their 240th celebration, continuous celebration in Bristol, Rhode Island, who has a nice day today, mostly sunny at 77. They're going to have a high of 83 today.
I was a little disappointed that we were not invited to be in any 4th of July parades this year.
Oh, that's right. Last year was a big deal, wasn't it?
Well, didn't you do Skokie last year, 20?
Oh, I was, yes. I was honored to be the Grand Marshal in Skokie last year. Yes.
And I did Niles the year before that.
Mm-hmm.
And Andy, have you done one?
I have not.
Look at this. How does Andy not get to be the Grand Marshal?
Okay. All right. Next year, we need a float. Our own float.
Okay.
There you go.
Even if it's our own parade.
I can get behind that, yeah.
And no one comes.
A one float parade.
No, I think we should, it would be nice to have a Sunday morning float.
Yeah, it would be. I agree.
I agree, yeah.
All right. But we're not going to come to any place that didn't invite us this year. I'm famous for my grudges that go on at least for a year, so.
Oh, yes, I know full well.
If you didn't invite us this year, don't think we're going to come next year.
So you were in Niles 2 years ago?
2 years ago, yeah. It was great. It was really fun.
Yeah, the Skokie Parade was just a highlight. Yeah. It was just wonderful.
Yeah, it'd be nice. It would be nice for the
it's a year already.
Wow. The three of us so people can mock us and throw stuff at us. I can have people asking me, why am I so mean to Schwanee right to my face all the time? It'd be fun.
You get that a lot, don't you?
So, Bristol, Rhode Island.
Bristol, Rhode Island, yes.
And what was the temperature there? I didn't catch
Bristol
that.
Right now has 77, and they're going up to a high of 83 today. Mostly sunny. It's going to be a beautiful day.
Very nice.
Along the seaport there, these pictures I'm looking at, it's just so New England looking, you know, with the trees
nice.
The older buildings and the water. Yeah.
That's nothing compared to what we're going to put on next 4th of July. People, ladies and gentlemen, you have not lived until you've seen Schwani's pom-pom and baton routine that he puts on. So that's what we promise you for next year. The Week in Health is coming up next on WGN.
What a beautiful world this will be. What a glorious time to be.
It is 9:42. Dean Richards, Sunday morning on WGN with our regular check-in with Dr. Jeremy Silver, who is the Medical Director, Emergency Medicine, Northwestern's Kishwaukee Hospital. Happy 4th of July weekend, Dr. Silver.
Good morning, and happy 4th to you as well.
Yeah, boy, we've been going through this crazy 90-degree weather, and although we're supposed to see some relief from the super hot temperatures, all I could think of was I can't wait to talk to Dr. Silver to, you know, talk about some of the precautions we should be taking in this crazy hot weather. Certainly, we're not done with it yet for summertime. But is the biggest problem exposure to the sun? Is it more of a heat exhaustion? Is it a dehydration? I know all of those things take place, right?
Dean, you know, sometimes I feel like in another life, medical school would be right up your alley. But yes, it's all three of those things. You know, the first obviously is protection from the sun, because the sun rays can be damaging. And first of all, nobody likes a sunburn. It doesn't feel good. It's painful. And second of all, repeated exposures, can lead to skin cancer, which nobody wants. So, you know, it's very important to wear clothing that protects your body. And if it's too hot to wear long sleeve clothing, then, you know, you've got sunscreen, and we can certainly discuss that. But you also mentioned staying cool, and I think people forget, you know, just how hot it can be, not just because of the heat, but the heat index. When there's humidity, the body cannot effectively cool itself by sweating as easily, because the pressure of the water in the air exerts a pressure on the water in your body, and it can't escape. And so it may be hotter than it actually feels, sometimes by over 10 degrees. And then the need to cool the body off, drinking enough water and electrolytes. People often underestimate how many cups of water they need a day, just on a regular day, let alone on a really hot day. And then I would add one last piece of this, and that is medications. There are many medications, both medications for depression that are very commonly used, and cardiac medicines, and There's just a whole variety of medicine that can raise the body's temperature or make it less efficient in terms of cooling that can lead to heat problems.
Wow, that's one I have never heard. The effect of the heat on your medications, and probably the other way around as well. By taking many of these, you may have some adverse effects, I would think, if you're taking your regular medications. And then going out in the super hot weather, the super high humidity, the super sunshine, there could be an effect both ways, right?
Oh yeah, 100%. Hmm. And so many people are on these medicines that they may not even realize it. And even some of the over-the-counter medicines, just to give you an example, Benadryl, which you might take if you had an allergy or maybe you were stung by a bee. It inhibits sweating. It doesn't allow you to sweat.
Really?
Yes. So, and there are other drugs like that, that are not uncommon that people can take, that reduce the ability to sweat. So it can be problematic.
I mean, there's such a long list of medications. We couldn't possibly go through all of them, but common ones that people take all the time. What about pain medications? Just regular over-the-counter pain medications. Are those safe to take in the hot weather?
Yeah, you know, I think what my recommendation would be is if you're taking any kind of medication, look at the label and see if there's a warning there, or you can certainly Google it. Because there's so many, and the best thing to do is to make sure that you have access to air conditioning or shade, and that you don't spend an excessive amount of time outside without getting hydrated or going back in to cool off.
What about things like statins that so many people are on now? Are those generally safe in the hot weather?
Well, you know, it's an interesting question, because even though statins may be impacted by hot weather or dehydration, which can kind of indirectly affect their activity. But the other thing that I would mention is, when you mention statins, many people who are on statins are also on other types of common medications, like beta blockers, for instance, which can really be a problem in the heat. So it's not just one drug, but sometimes combinations of drugs.
Okay, so check with your physician, check the labels. Probably not a terrible idea to ask a pharmacist, right? They should be able to tell you if
100%.
Yeah, if there's going to be some effect. You talked about staying hydrated in this weather. Water, obviously, is the number one thing that people should be taking in. Where do you fall? I think we've talked about this before. Water versus sports drinks which have supplemental electrolytes in them. Are you better with the sports drinks, or are you just as fine having some nice water?
Well, it depends on a couple of things. One is, if you're exercising heavily, if you're working out to the point of sweating or running to the point of sweating, you want to be replacing a percentage of your fluid intake. Your replenishment should be with an electrolyte drink. So there's nothing wrong with that. If you're a healthy young individual and you go on a couple mile run in the heat, you should have a Gatorade when you finish. But if you have, as you get older, certainly some of the common medical diseases that present themselves, like kidney disease, for instance, can impact the way that you absorb these electrolytes, and you have to be very, very careful. So I think it depends on the age group. But for the most part, for most people going about their day and maybe doing a light workout, like going for that post-dinner walk in the late afternoon where it's been so nice at the end of the day, just replacing with water. But people don't, I think, including myself, we don't drink enough water in general. I think that's a fair statement. For women, for instance, for adult women, that's women over the age of 18, it's recommended somewhere in the 9 to 12 cups. And I can't tell you, Dean, the last time I had 10 cups of water.
Yeah.
And for men, it's more. It's, 13 to 16. So, probably all of us could just benefit from going to the sink a few more times a day.
Yeah. Well, I was going to ask you about going to the sink versus going to the plastic bottle of water. I've read so many articles about microplastics in bottled water. You can't see them, you can't feel them, but apparently they're there. Are you better off getting some water out of the sink than going to a plastic bottle of water, which is very convenient? I have to admit, I do it all the time myself, but I'm certainly aware that I've read so many articles about these microplastics in the water. I feel like I should wean myself off.
Yeah, I mean, I think, as long as you don't drink the water and don't breathe the air, you're going to be just fine.
It's as simple as that.
Very simple. But I agree with you, Dean. The microplastics thing really is... it's terrifying. I mean, there's no other way to put it. It's distressing to read about the fact that we're now seeing microplastics in our bodies and everywhere in your body. Even in the brains of people who have died, they're finding it. So, in our household, we use metal water bottles and we drink from a filter. We just have it under the sink filter. Nothing fancy. And I think that that's a good strategy. Now, do I occasionally have a soda or a bottle of water? Sure. I mean, you can't avoid it. You can't always be having your water bottle with you. But I would advise it. I think it's good practice, and it's easy to walk to the sink. You get a few steps in.
Yeah. Metal versus glass. Was there a reason for that?
Just weight, safety, and portability, but no glass.
Okay, all right, that's a good idea. Yeah. That's a really good idea. On our text line 312-981-7200, ask the doctor about coconut water over something like Gatorade or a Pedialyte.
Yeah, coconut water has lots of electrolytes. I would mention, again, for those folks that have kidney disease, be careful. It's high in potassium, as many of those electrolyte solutions are, although you can now find packets and drinks in stores and online that are specifically balanced for folks with renal disease. But that's definitely a talk-to-your-doctor type of thing. But for the average person who doesn't have to worry about potassium, that's a great way to rehydrate, and it's pretty much on par with a Gatorade.
Yeah, and very tasty, I've found also. 847 area code asks, is seltzer water good to drink in this hot weather?
Yeah, I mean, seltzer is fine. You know, there are some concerns about drinking too much seltzer water and reducing bone mineralization over time. But that doesn't really relate to a hot day. You know, if you're trying to replace fluid and you're sweating, it's perfectly fine. But I just mentioned that in terms of long-term effects, that may be something to think about.
Yeah, I had somebody tell me once to, you know, check the labels because sometimes there are additives in the seltzer waters, in particular, club soda versus seltzer water. Club soda, kind of high in sodium. Seltzer water, zero sodium.
100% correct. Yeah. Again, Dean, med school is calling if you ever decided, you know, radio got boring for you.
Yeah.
But yes, there's sodium bicarbonate that creates the club soda, and the sodium dissociates from the bicarbonate, meaning that the two molecules separate in the water, and there's extra sodium there, sure.
630 area code, what about my blood thinners in the hot weather? Should people be concerned going into the hot weather if they're taking blood thinners?
Yeah, you know, the issue is that When you're on blood thinners, and I'm thinking of not necessarily aspirin, but those prescribed blood thinners like Eliquis or Xarelto, I'm not aware of them interacting with heat or becoming unstable. But again, it's that secondary effect where if you get lightheaded from the heat and then fall, it puts you at greater risk. So that would be my thought in terms of those medications.
And we've talked about what you should drink in the hot weather. People are enjoying a nice, cool, you know, drink, enjoying a nice ice-cold beer in this hot weather. Alcoholic beverages in the hot weather. What's your take on that?
Well, I'm not going to lie, Dean. You know, I, at the end of a long day you're doing work for your wife, let's say, outside, you know, that's something that maybe happens every now and then, and you want to grab a cold beverage from the fridge.
Right.
You know, it tastes great, and it's a great way to relax. Again, the key is moderation, because alcohol makes you pee. It's called a diuretic. That's just, it means it acts on the kidneys to release the urine. And it makes you urinate, and that makes you get dehydrated, and it can lead to significant amounts of urination over time, which can make you dehydrated. So if you're working outside and you're drinking a six-pack, for instance, that can be problematic. You can get lightheaded, and then, you know, the next thing you know, you're falling off the roof. The other issue is that you lose the ability to respond to heating. So you have this thermostat in your brain called the hypothalamus. It's a little tissue structure in the brain that senses temperature. and booze kind of shuts it off or impairs its ability to function. And so you may not know to go inside. You're feeling good. You're having a couple of beers, and then the next thing you know, you're overheated.
We have about 1 minute left, and someone at the 773 area code asks, what kind of sunscreen should I get?
Oh, great question. So sunscreen, just briefly, kind of comes in two flavors. There's the mineral and then the chemical. And I would say it kind of depends on who you are and what you're doing. The mineral is safe. There's no concerns about hormonal disruption. But you have to kind of really smear it on because it kind of comes on thick. And then the issue is sweating, that it can kind of come off with your sweat. You need to reapply it, versus the chemical. So the mineral would be like zinc oxide or titanium dioxide, whereas the chemical, formulations, and that might say benzone on it, some kind of benzone, chemical additive, are good for when you're doing sports and activities because it stays on and it kind of goes on more evenly. But there are concerns about safety for babies, and of course, there's some concern about hormonal disruption, although, you know, I can't really say much more than that. That's the research that I've done, but there is that little caveat there.
Higher the SPF, the better, or, can you go too high? Does it matter?
30 or better. Blocks greater than 97% of the dangerous rays. I usually go with 50, but, you know, there's nothing wrong with going higher.
All right. Dr. Jeremy Silver, Medical Director, Emergency Medicine, Northwestern's Kishwaukee Hospital. That's where I'll be working once I finish medical school. Always good to talk to you. Have a great Sunday today, Doc. Thank you so much.
And you, Dean. Take care.
Much more when we come back. So what would be your favorite food to eat in this blazing hot weather?
A hot dog.
Not grilled or grilled?
Grilled,
right? Not
hot
steamed.
Dog, yes, a grilled hot dog, yeah. And some fries and ice cream. Everything that's healthy. Dr. Silver would not like me.
Dr. Silver is a pretty much in moderation kind of guy.
Right, right. I said a hot dog.
Yeah. Could you stop at one?
It depends on how hungry I am.
I was at a barbecue last night and they had burgers and hot dogs. I went with the burger because it looked so amazing.
Mm-hmm. If the smell of a good grilled burger hits me, I'm done.
That's the most intoxicating smell
it really
that there is.
I've got the solution. Just one of each.
There you go.
Just one of each?
Yeah, just have a hot dog and a hamburger.
Just one of each?
Okay, well, then have two of each.
I saw two people at this barbecue last night putting ketchup on their hot dog.
Ugh.
And I didn't say anything. I was going to, but then I thought, I don't want to get in a fist fight here at this barbecue.
Not worth it.
Equally tasty in the hot weather like this would be a good brat with grilled onions.
Mmm. Nice German mustard on there.
Yep. The brown German mustard.
Okay, here's Andy. What's your hot weather food choice?
Well, I agree with you with the hot dog and the burger, but you have to finish it off with the cold watermelon and grapes.
Oh, good. Yeah, good choice.
Cold watermelons.
Yeah. We had some watermelon last
year. I've had some good watermelon so far this year.
I've had some really good watermelon this year.
Yeah.
I've been thumping like crazy, if you'll excuse the expression. If we can say that in polite company. Here's my favorite. Here are two of my favorite hot weather foods, along with my burger and or hot dog. Corn on the cob, grilled corn on the cob.
Yep.
Screams summertime.
Mm-hmm.
And baked beans.
Oh, yeah. Ooh. That'd be good.
Oh, I love baked beans.
I would add creamy coleslaw.
Creamy coleslaw. Or potato salad.
Yeah.
Definitely creamy.
Ice cold, though. Ice cold.
Yeah, right out of the freezer.
Out of the freezer.
I made, for this barbecue last night, I made a pasta salad with pasta, of course. That's the name. I grilled up some red bell peppers. I grilled up a yellow zucchini squash. I grilled up some asparagus. I think I turned Andy off with the asparagus, right?
No, actually, I eat that.
Oh, you like asparagus. Yeah. Oh, good. Yeah, all these amazing fresh vegetables. I cut up a red onion. I did not grill it. I just put it in because I wanted something crunchy in there. That was in the pasta salad. What else did I put in? Oh, yeah, some pepperoni. Put some pepperoni in there. And a little Parmesan cheese. And I made up a little Italian vinaigrette.
What kind of pasta?
Corkscrew.
Corkscrew, the rotini, yeah.
Yeah, corkscrew, because you want something that's going to, like, you know, hold the dressing.
And have some texture.
And have a little texture. And visually, it's prettier,
yeah.
You know.
Yeah.
Let's see what else. Oh, I put some pine nuts in it. Some roasted pine nuts and some fresh parsley.
Mm-mm.
That was good.
Mm-hmm. Yep. I have made a tuna and pasta salad at times, and you can't get much simpler. You could just take a can of tuna.
Yep.
And put it in
Open the can.
Open the can, yes. Yep. That's step one. Just like Curly in the one episode where they're cooks. Separate two eggs. Open the can. Open the can.
Just picturing Curly putting one egg to his left and one egg to his right.
Open the can.
We're such idiots.
And the oil in the can and the oil in your pasta, if you buy the, you know, a rotini, just a plain pasta salad at the deli.
Goes great.
Put it together, and then you can take it any way you want. Yeah. Peppers.
Celery,
which you mentioned,
pepper.
The pine nuts.
I like
and
the green pepper.
Yeah. Yeah, but do open the can of tuna.
And so you make it an oil-based.
Yes, yes, yeah, oil-based.
Yeah.
Mix it up good in a big bowl. You could serve it at room temperature or refrigerated.
Yeah, I like the oil-based because, I like a creamy coleslaw or creamy potato salad, but oil-based, you don't have to worry about the hot weather. Things going south on you.
Right. That's right.
Yum.
Oh, I'm hungry now.
Yum. I did some pizzas on the grill the other day because I think that's one of the best things to do on the grill, and in addition to hot dogs and burgers and all that stuff. We're going to talk about that coming up after 11 o'clock this morning. It's Dean Richards Sunday Morning on WGN. Here we go. It's another hour of our little Sunday morning get-together. Appreciate you all joining us. Appreciate all the nice texts and emails. Andy and Shawnee, of course, as always with us. We have the best listeners.
Indeed.
Jumping in on the text line with nice comments about our show. So, we appreciate, whatever it is that you're doing on this Sunday morning, we appreciate that you're spending some time with us. Shawnee, your tuna salad recipe?
Yeah.
Big hit on the text line.
Excellent. Thank you.
Yeah, big hit. 708 area code said she would only add some green peas.
Oh, that would be wonderful.
I like green peas. Not everybody does. But
no.
As long as they're not mushy.
Right, they've got to be a little crispy and crunchy.
Yeah,
have some texture to
frozen.
Right.
So frozen is okay, but if you get the fresh green peas and just slightly, I like to steam them more than boil them. I think they're a little more flavorful. But you want a little bit of fight back when you bite into them a little bit.
Yep. You could put chickpeas in it.
Chickpeas would be
good. That would be good.
Chickpeas would be nice.
Excellent source of plant protein.
Would it surprise you that I like both of those?
Yes. Andy, what's happening
to
you?
Wow. Peas and chickpeas? You like both of those?
I like them both.
Asparagus?
I know.
I think we're seeing a convert here.
All right. Our little Andy's growing up.
Right before your very eyes.
Brussels sprouts yet?
Yeah, I told you that was one of the first
he likes
forays
Brussels sprouts
into the adventure.
Now, you were at Ravinia last night for the big Chicago concert, because that's where all the cool cats were last night.
Right.
What did you have? You had a huge food spread.
Yeah.
He posted pictures. If you go to Andy's Facebook page, there's all kinds of photos that he may or may not want you to see.
That's okay. But you can see them. Public access right now. We had it was barbecue. Obviously, you know, 4th of July, the theme was the barbecue. And we had some awesome, very delicious and tender brisket with some Sweet Baby Ray's sauce on the side. And there was a pulled pork. There were some potatoes. There was some slaw, which I almost overlooked the first time I went through the line, but made sure and rectified the situation on the way back. I'm trying to think what else was there. There was chicken egg salad, I think.
Nice.
It was good. I mean, it never disappoints. It was always it's always good eating when we go there. Oh, there was cornbread, homemade cornbread.
Yeah.
And it was awesome. And Melina makes these her homemade Cheez-Its, she likes to call it, because it's a little slices of cheese, but they get toasted up and real crispy and really good.
Those are nice.
Had some of those. And the dessert was fantastic. Someone made a nice Portillo's-type chocolate cake.
Nice.
And the watermelon that I had last night was to die for. It was really, really sweet and good.
Yeah, I don't know how anybody is eating anything except watermelon this time of year.
Yeah, it was good. Refreshing.
I had some watermelon. I had some good cantaloupe. I found some good cantaloupe this week also.
I've had some fair cantaloupe. It hasn't been great yet.
Okay. So. Somebody makes an interesting point from the 706 area code. I have no idea where that's. Where is 706? Do we know?
Not sure.
Let's find out.
Yeah. Let's do the Google machine on this.
Georgia.
Someone's listening in North Georgia?
Yeah, West Central Georgia covering...
Or at least their
Augusta,
cell phone.
Columbus, and Rome.
Yeah. Well, thank you. If you're listening in Georgia, howdy, y'all. And if not, thank you for having your cell phone number from there. But they make an interesting point. Why do you call it barbecue when you're only having hamburgers and hot dogs and you don't have actual barbecued meat?
I guess it's the act, right? Isn't it just the act of...
I guess it's a fair point. I guess we really should probably call it grilling, right?
That's true.
But come on, you know what? Oh, you people from Georgia are so picky.
I'll tell you, you know, you were mentioning favorite foods like hot dogs and burgers. A good barbecue pork sandwich time of year.
Oh, boy.
Or barbecued beef ribs.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, that's good. I like a nice pulled pork sandwich.
Oh, yeah.
This time of year.
Pulled pork, pulled chicken.
I made some pulled chicken the other day because I made it as a pizza topping.
Oh, cool.
That would be very good.
You've heard me talk about my famous, by far of all the cooking segments that I've done, by far the most requested recipe is my barbecue chicken, caramelized onion, pizza.
That would be great.
It's delicious. Yeah. It's amazingly delicious. And I tried a couple of different toppings this year as well, which were major hits when I made them on TV this past Wednesday. So we'll talk about that coming up after 11 o'clock. Here's another. Boy, everyone's getting into the summer food angle here on the text line. Lemon cappellini with arugula. Cappellini is a very, very thin spaghetti. It's a very, very thin spaghetti. And lemon pasta, I can't even have pasta anymore if there's not lemon in it. It brightens up the whole thing. It makes it so good. Lemon cappellini with arugula. Add some shrimp or salmon. It's so good in this hot weather. And is available at the Jewels, as it says here.
Now, with the lemon, are you talking about a squeezed lemon juice, a lemon zest? What are you doing?
You could put both in.
Yeah.
The more lemony, for me, the more lemony, the better. But just a nice pasta with some olive oil, and you zest some lemon into it, you squeeze the lemon juice into it, throw a little parm on there, parmesan cheese. Oh,
This Holy. Is the lemon juice after you cook it.
Yes.
To al dente.
Yeah. Yep. Yep. I like that guy, al dente. He's a good guy. what else do we have here? We have many suggestions of foods for hot weather on the old text line here today. Oh, here's an interesting. I wanted to read this one because we were talking about drink, you know, staying hydrated in this hot weather with water or a sports drink. Somebody said coconut water, and Dr. Silver said that coconut water is good to have. 630 area code said, I read that milk is a better option for hydrating than water. Milk is a better hydrator. And I looked it up, because Dr. Silver was already off the line. I looked it up, and it says, let me tell you exactly what it says here. Milk is a great source of hydration. Some studies suggest it may be more hydrating than water, particularly after exercise. Milk's natural electrolytes, proteins, and carbohydrates can help the body retain fluids and replenish what is lost through sweat. How about that?
This is regular milk now, not the like la soy milk or an almond milk.
Regular
good old cow's milk.
Yep.
Okay.
Yep.
Huh.
I can't think of anything I would like less on a 90-degree day than going outside having a glass of milk.
Well, it'd have to be very, very cold.
It would have to be very with a cold. Big old piece of Portillo's chocolate cake, too.
Or some chocolate syrup in it.
Yeah. Or, a nice chocolate milk. Now we're talking. But who would have guessed that milk is a better source of hydration than water, according to this, whatever it is that I'm reading from?
Hmm.
Yeah. Look how educational this show is.
Yeah, I know. This is why we've won all the Pulitzer Prizes.
This is why we've won so many
Peabody Awards.
Yep. We are known as the PBS of the not PBS. People turn to us for
anything and everything.
Yep. 630 area code. Hi, boys. Love the show. I listen every week. I'm boiling brats in beer right now and then off to the grill.
There you go.
That sounds good.
We're coming over.
I do love a brat that's been boiled in beer first. That's very tasty.
Mm-hmm.
You get a nice, not a light beer, and I don't mean like, you know, fewer calories kind of light beer, but like those lighter lagers. I think almost like a Guinness. Now, Guinness would be too much, but like at least a medium.
A lighter beer, a Pilsner beer.
Like a medium a Pilsner beer to
or a lager.
Invoke some of that beer taste into the brat.
Yep.
Throw it on the grill, get some caramelization going on there.
Yep.
Throw it on a nice toasty bun.
Toast the bun.
Which was my name in high school, by the way. That was my nickname in high school, Toasty Bun.
Okay, I'm done there. I'm not going any further.
I'll explain sometime. That'll be in the book when I finally write the book. That'll be in the book of why that was my nickname in high school.
No pictures, please.
You're the only one that has embarrassing pictures on this show.
No, I'm not.
Yeah, oh, yes, you are. 708 area code. I cut up boiled potatoes. I par cook green beans, sweet onions, and add some olive oil Italian dressing. That's a delicious potato salad right there.
Mm-hmm.
In this hot weather. Greek-style potato salad is very much like that, minus the green beans, but it's onion. They would put like a Vidalia onion, some celery, some green pepper, and then oil and vinegar. That's Greek potato salad, basically. And then, you know, you're minus the mayonnaise, which is, you know, is nice, but in the hot weather, I think it's just so refreshing to have an olive oil-based dressing today, you know?
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. Yep.
773 area code. Dean, are you really from Chicago? If you put chicken and caramelized onions on your pizza, you're not really a Chicagoan. What are you supposed to put on your pizza if you're a real Chicagoan?
Pepperoni, sausage.
I guess. What's wrong with that? A different kind of pizza. How does that make me not a Chicagoan?
Barbecue chicken pizza. I love a barbecue chicken pizza.
Barbecue chicken pizza with the caramelized onions is...
Absolutely.
This moron who wrote this text in, insulting me, has no vision of taste. It's the most delicious pizza that you could possibly have. Not a real Chicagoan. 630 area code. Dean, my favorite summertime food is tomato, cucumber, and red onion salad with some balsamic vinegar.
Oh, that's excellent. Tomatoes and basil with it and balsamic.
Oh, baby. Yeah. That's some good eating right there.
Yep. Yep, absolutely.
I could talk forever.
Well, we could go on, couldn't we?
Yes. I could talk forever on this, and I will, coming up after 11 o'clock. But let's take a quick break. Schwani will update the news this morning. We'll get the NASCAR update, and then we'll get into the week in theater, all coming up from this Not Real Chicago in Dean Richards Sunday Morning, WGN. Ten 37 is the time. Dean Richards, Sunday morning on WGN, and time once again for our Week in Theater segment. What's going on stage around the Chicago area? Last week, I had the opportunity to go out to Drury Lane and Oakbrook Terrace and see their latest production, Always Patsy Cline, and I cannot recommend the show enough. For those of you who are fans of country music, and most especially if you are a fan of the music of Patsy Cline, because it's like going to a Patsy Cline concert, really. Asia Alcazar, who was on the show with us 2 weeks ago, along with her co-star Bree Sudia, are just great in the show. It's the story of a one-night encounter with the great Patsy Cline and a super fan who, you know, just make a connection. They form an instant friendship, and the story of Patsy Cline's life and the story between the relationship between these two women are told through about 25, 27 Patsy Cline songs, beautifully performed by Asia Alcazar. The story of Patsy Cline's life is, you know, very well told and very, you know, very well known. So, I mean, you sort of don't have to over tell the story. But if you just love the music, you just want to sit back and enjoy this wonderful music, you know, Patsy Cline music, with a live live band right on stage. It's like a 4 or 5 piece band that do a terrific job. I can't recommend the show enough to you. It's playing at the Drury Lane in Oakbrook Terrace until August the 3rd. So, you know, if you're so inclined, I would highly recommend that show to you. Another show that now has been extended until August the 3rd, is the one that is playing at the Goodman Theater downtown. It is The Color Purple, the musical. Through popular demand, the show has been extended and you know, tells the very familiar Color Purple story. Joining us to talk about it is the director, Lillianne Brown, who is on our phone line right now. Lillianne, welcome to WGN.
Hi, Dean. Thanks for having me.
Very, very nice to have you. Nothing but rave reviews that I've heard. I haven't had a chance to get over to see the show yet, but I'm hearing just nothing but great things. Talk to me about bringing this to the Goodman Theater. The Color Purple has been presented in so many different ways now, and here now is yet another interpretation.
Yeah, this is the same interpretation that's been out there for a while in terms of the stage musical. I believe the stage musical premiered in, 2006. And then there was a revival, probably, in the early teens on Broadway. And this is that same script and score.
Yeah, I mean, but so interesting, though, that The Color Purple started off not as a musical, as a motion picture with Whoopi Goldberg and, so many other amazing performances, and then became a stage musical.
Well, it started out as a novel by Alice Walker.
Right,
exactly. A movie.
Exactly.
All of these things are actually just different interpretations of Alice Walker's novel.
Original source material, right.
Perhaps one day there will be, you know, who knows, audio drama. I think actually during the pandemic there was like an audio drama of it. It's, you know, it's an endlessly fascinating story. It's an endlessly excellently written book. And so I think that there's just an enduring, it's basic what we think of as a classic, right? You know how classics just get reinterpreted over and over because they're so fundamentally, there's something about classics. The reason we call them classics is they unearth something about the human condition, and we find ourselves returning to them again and again because I think things that are called classics, they do something for us. They tell us something, tell us some sort of truth in a way that hits home so well that we return to them over and over.
It's been so interesting through through, you know, movies and stage productions and musicals, and then musicals on screen. The show itself, I've heard people, you know, tell me how the show affected them, and, you know, how people from all walks of life, male, female, all races, all creeds, that this show spoke to them in, different ways. I think that's also, you know, part of what goes into this definition of a classic, that a piece of art like this can affect people in so many ways and speak to them in very profound ways.
Yeah. I think that is another reason something becomes a classic. It just feels universally, fundamentally true and effective, and everyone can get something out of it. And that's certainly what we hope to do with our show.
Yeah, talk to me a little bit about your cast, because, I mean, so much depends on the main character, Celie, in your show, played by Brittany Mack. What can you tell us about Brittany?
Oh, wow. Well, the whole cast is so incredibly, incredibly special. They are just the best performers, really. Like, truly all triple threats, and also the best humans. It was a lovely, we just really had a great time in our process. But yes, of course, Brittany Mack, in the role of Celie, is she's just a revelation. So Brittany is a hometown girl. You know, she's from the south side of Chicago, and I met her here in Chicago before she had to move to New York in order to do Six on Broadway, where she was in the original cast playing, I believe, Anne of Cleves in the original Broadway cast of Six, which, you know, started and did its tryout here at Chicago Shakes and then moved to Broadway, and she was part of that. And ironically, that's like right when I met her, is she was up for, I was looking at her for Celie back then, because I did The Color Purple at Drury Lane Oakbrook, where you just saw Patsy Cline.
Yeah.
I did The Color Purple there in 2019, and she had auditioned for me then, so that's when I met her. And then what's funny is in 2022, I hired her to do it at the Muni. Mm. And we were really, really excited about that. And unfortunately, there was a conflict with Six, which she was currently in at the time. And so then she couldn't do it. And so it's just funny that, like, we also have had this sort of karmic go-round.
Right.
Now we third time's the charm. And she's doing it, and she's killing it. It's amazing.
Yeah, I've just heard nothing but amazing things from your entire cast. You have, is it Ari Williams playing Shug Avery in the show?
Yes, yes. She's amazing. She's so hilarious, and yet also so heartfelt, which is what it requires to play Shug. You have to be so many different things, much like Feely, you know. Feely goes through, you know, as we're watching this play, we're watching 35 years go by. It's sort of this epic hero's journey, you know. And so to watch these women sort of spiritually embody the time gone by and the personal growth is really incredible.
Yeah. Chantel Renee Cribbs as Nettie, Tyrone Martin mm-hmm. as Mr. In the show. We'll talk more about The Color Purple at the Goodman Theater with its director, Lily Ann Brown, when we come right back on 720 WGN.
All I need's a needle and a spool of thread. Got about a million patterns in my head. All the ladies next are gonna love to dance when they in Miss Seeley's pants. Size that makes you feel like a queen.
That woman's a whiz with the sewing machine. Who dat say, who dat say, who dat, who dat say, who dat say, who dat, who dat say, what she say?
A little bit of a taste of The Color Purple, the musical, at the Goodman Theater, now extended through August the 3rd. We'll tell you how you can get tickets coming up in a couple of minutes here. The director of The Color Purple musical on with us this morning, Lily Ann Brown. Lily Ann, tell me about the particular challenges in staging this production for the Goodman Theater. Were there any?
I think the tricky thing about The Color Purple is how do you put 35 years passing on a stage, you know, and several locations. And The Color Purple, the way the show is structured, it really, like so many other musicals that are sort of designed for you to have zillions and zillions of dollars, sometimes there's no transition time. Sometimes there's no transition music. The show expects you to be able to just go from, now we're in the woods, now we're in a house, now we're in a church, now we're blah, blah, blah. And we went there in 1 second. So, you know, there's no time to bring in a set. There's no time to, you know, transition to this other location or this other time. And so you have to find creative ways to do that. And we found that the best way to do that was to keep the set in a gestural place and in a suggestive place and just do it with bodies and human storytelling. And then, you know, a little extra, you know, something like projections. I think the only person to have used projections for this show. I do sort of shadow puppetry to portray some things, and I like to remind us of the years passing by, so I use it for that. But really, really keeping it simple, honestly. Like, it's very simple but very effective tools, because I want people to... Actually, what I usually want people to come away from at watching The Color Purple is sort of a proxy of the experience of reading the novel. I want people to feel like I feel when I'm reading the novel.
Well, that's the beauty of live theater, isn't it? Is the suspension of imagination and, being able to go from scene to scene, from place to place, flawlessly, and the audience completely accepts it all, right?
Yes, the suspension of disbelief, so we can use our imaginations, yes.
Yeah, that's part of it. What do you think is the power of this work, from the novel to the movie drama to the stage musicals to the movie musicals? What do you think that is that is speaking to people? And as we talked about, what makes The Color Purple so classic?
Yeah, Alice Walker said that it was about a woman's journey from the religious to the truly spiritual, right? And discovering what God means to her, what that is for her, like discovering her connection to the divine. And I think that's something that every human is searching for and trying to figure out. What is our place in the world? What is our connection to the divine? What is divine, you know? How could that not resonate for any human? And it's just about her personal journey into finding herself and figuring out what her personal power is, which is yet another thing I think every human struggles with.
Yeah, that's fantastic. The show is timeless. The venue, if it's at the Goodman, it's going to be great. There's just nothing but quality there. What's it like for you as a director to be staging a production at the Goodman Theater, one of the most renowned theaters in the world?
It's like home, It's my fifth show at the Goodman, and that's absolutely my artistic home. And so it's always wonderful to be back there. The support that I receive at the Goodman is like nowhere else in the world that I've worked. So it's always a great homecoming for me.
Yeah, you must... talk with people from around the world about the theater scene in Chicago. What are the kinds of things that you hear that are being...
They're sick of me.
They're sick of you.
They're absolutely sick of me because I won't shut up about Chicago theater everywhere that I go. And, there are several other places that we don't need to name that think their theater is the best. And I like to quickly disabuse them of that notion.
I'm right with you on that. I'm right with you on that. When I hear people, everyone thinks, New York, and, certainly they produce a good quality of theater, and so does London as well. But honestly, I mean, maybe we're hometown people, so we're, a little biased this way. But I think... If you look at it objectively, the quality of work that comes out of Chicago, much of it at the Goodman Theater, it cannot be beat any place in the world.
That's my opinion, and I'm sticking to it. I still live in Chicago, although a lot of people don't think I live here, but I've lived here all my life, and I still live here. My house is in the South Loop, and I love Chicago theater like nothing else. I'm very dedicated to it, and it's always fantastic to work at the Goodman because, like you said, it's the quality. When I say support, it's not just like human support, it's resource support. They know how to produce a show like no one else, and it's a great time there.
Yeah, there are some special events that are going to be coming up. a musical Monday at Sidetracks with the Color Purple. This is going to be tomorrow night. Many of your cast members will be at Sidetrack on North Halsted Street, 3349.
Yep, we're going to have a good time.
The cast members, Gilbert Domely, who plays Harpo, Nicole Michelle Haskins, Sophia, Ari Williams, Shug, and Brittany Mac Seeley will be performing songs live from the production. Sidetrack is 3349 North Halsted in Chicago if you want to see something special. And then there is a Color Purple vendor fair, which will be going on Saturday, July the 12th. In its third year, the Hidden Goodman Entrepreneur Market will be showcasing and celebrating the incredible work of Black creators and brands across various fields, including fashion, art, music, literature, cuisine, and more. So a couple of special events revolving around the Color Purple musical going on.
Yeah, those are super fun. If you've never been to Sidetrack, they have these amazing slushy drinks that are very dangerous. And that vendor fair, the last time Goodman did it, I bought so much cool stuff.
it sounds like a lot of fun both on and off stage. The Color Purple musical, as I said, has been extended until August the 9th. And you can get more information by going to goodmantheater.org/purple or by calling 312-443-3800. Continued success, Lillianne, with this show, and we look forward to future projects from you.
Thank you so much.
Yeah, it's a real pleasure to talk to you. I've enjoyed your work through the years. Lillianne Brown, the director of Color Purple, the musical. Appreciate you joining us. Thank you.
Thanks for having me.
Thank you very much. And we will continue after an update with news, a little mini version of our Food Time show, a bite-sized version, as we say, all coming up on WGN.
I'm John Williams, inviting you to listen to, call in, and text my show. You can also email, write to, send a pigeon overhead, but mostly listen, laugh, and learn. Weekdays at 10 on 720
WGN, Chicago.
An XR Media Group station.
81 degrees and cloudy skies at 11 o'clock. Good morning, I'm Dave Schwann. The news is sponsored by Level10Coatings.com. More rain is possible for parts of Texas, where flooding has now killed over 70 people. Dozens remain missing.
Cubs looking for a series win over the Cardinals, while the White Sox go for a sweep in Denver.
And looking at WGN traffic, some slow traffic outbound on the Kennedy between Lake and Pulaski, and the rest of the expressways looking good at this hour. Closures very much in place, though, in the Grant Park South Loop area for the NASCAR street race, and some of these closures running into the week, and the final closure will be on Balbo, both directions between Michigan and DeSable Lakeshore Drive. That will be in place until Friday, July 11th. The Kirk County Sheriff, Larry Latha, says 11 campers and a camp counselor are still missing after powerful floods inundated central Texas. Dozens have been killed since the raging waters, the death toll now up to 70. This updated from authorities this morning after searchers found more bodies in the hardest hit area, Kerr County. The victims include children who were camping along the Guadalupe River banks. Authorities have said they'll not stop searching until everyone is found. Texas Governor Greg Abbott has declared today a day of prayer in Texas, and Pope Leo has also offered prayers from the Vatican. Seven people are recovering at area hospitals after being shot on the South Side Friday, celebrating the 4th of July at a block party. Chicago police are looking for two suspects. WGN's Emmy Victor spoke with one of the victim's relatives.
Sierra says one of her cousins is the 27-year-old woman. She says her cousin is pregnant, but the baby is doing well. As for her other relatives, they may have a long road to recovery.
Well, they're doing okay, but I know, like, one of them, they're, like, throwing up blood and stuff.
Sierra says she never thought her 4th of July would have ended like this.
I thought it would just been normal, like always.
She also says the victims didn't have any problems with anyone in the neighborhood. The incident happened on the 4800 block of South Justine, and anyone with information can contact Chicago police. Forecasters are warning of possible flash flooding along the Carolina coast as Tropical Storm Chantel moves north after making landfall. The National Hurricane Center said it's expected to weaken to a tropical depression as it moves further inland, though it could drop heavy rainfall along the way, and potential flash floods are likely. And Israeli Prime Minister Benjamin Netanyahu will be talking with President Trump this week. While Israel and Hamas continue to negotiate over a U.S. proposed ceasefire. With an update, here's News Nation's Robert Sherman from Tel Aviv.
President Trump telling reporters he's confident.
Could be a Gaza deal next week, yeah.
Fighting continues for now. While Hamas found the broad framework of the latest deal to be suitable, the changes they requested unacceptable to the Israelis. Also in Gaza, mounting pressure to bolster the humanitarian situation.
The food security is real in Gaza, and we have to continue surging food in Gaza.
Reverend Johnny Moore, who heads up the U.S.-backed Gaza Humanitarian Foundation, telling News Nation that the situation is dangerous.
The group said two American aid workers were injured by a Hamas grenade attack Saturday. And the new taxes are now in place after Governor Pritzker signed the $55.2 billion budget. Included in those new taxes, gas, phone bills, tobacco, sports books, and vacation rentals, now with an extra charge, the gas tax increasing by 1.3 cents per gallon. It's now up to 48.3 cents. And sports betting tax adds 25 to 50 cents per wager. WGN Sports Time, 11:04.
Matthew Boyd will try to pitch the Cubs to a series win over the Cardinals tonight at Wrigley Field. St. Louis evened up the series with a victory yesterday. Boyd has won his last two starts. That includes six innings of three-hit baseball against the Cardinals in St. Louis last week. White Sox have a chance at a sweep today in Denver. The Sox will send Shane Smith to the mound today to try to get that done against the Rockies. Rookie Colson Montgomery collected his first three major league hits last night. Sox are mourning the loss of former closer Bobby Jenks. He passed away Friday after battling stomach cancer. Jenks spent six of his seven big league seasons in a White Sox uniform. He was on the mound when the final out was recorded in Game 4 of the 2005 World Series. As the White Sox won the title in a sweep of the Astros, Jenks was only 44. The NASCAR Cup Series will take over the streets of downtown Chicago this afternoon, the running of the Grant Park 165. And we have IndyCar racing today with the running of the Indy 200 at Mid-Ohio. Our race coverage begins in about a half an hour at 11:30 here on WGN and WGNRadio.com and WNBA action today, Sky in Minnesota. I'm Andy Mazur, WGN Sports.
Another muggy day around Chicagoland. Not quite as hot, though, as temperatures top out in the mid to low end of the 80s for us, with heat index values close to 90 for today. Showers and thunderstorms in the forecast, which could unfortunately affect NASCAR Chicago Street Race downtown for later on today. As we get into tomorrow, starting out the day, a comfortable 65 degrees and not nearly as humid, with a nice northeasterly wind. Mix of clouds and sun, high temperature, low end of the 80s. Humidity's back on Tuesday with a chance for some showers and thunderstorms through the middle of the day. Overall, though, we do cool things off as we get into Wednesday and Thursday. Both days see possible showers and thunderstorms with high temperatures in the mid to low end of the 80s, which is seasonally appropriate for this time of the year. Back towards 90 by Friday with, again, a chance for some showers and thunderstorms. From the WGN Weather Center, I'm meteorologist Tim Joyce.
It's 80 at O'Hare, 84 at Midway, 87 along the lake. I'm Dave Schwann, WGN News. Next news when it happens. Next scheduled news following our auto race this afternoon here on 720 WGN.
A lot of people don't know that Schwanny is all dressed up like Speed Racer today. just, you know, for the big NASCAR events that are...
I'm wearing a helmet. I've got my jumpsuit on.
Yeah, very attractive.
He parked his powerful Mach 5 in the parking lot.
That's right. That's right.
Go Speed Racer.
Go Speed Racer.
Go Speed Racer. Go Speed Racer.
Is that all we know?
That's about all we know.
Here he comes. Here comes Speed Racer. He's a demon on wheels. Don't get me started.
He's going to be chasing after someone.
Yep. I saw a movie last night. I was just flipping around, and I saw, who was it, James? I think James Garner in a movie called Grand Prix.
Oh, that goes way back.
Way back.
The 60s.
It's an old movie.
Yeah.
And I realized it's basically the Brad Pitt movie that's out right now, F1, is basically a ripoff of that.
Wow, really?
I didn't realize that. I mean, you know, race car movies can be very similar. It was actually my criticism of F1, even before I knew about this James Garner movie, that it really didn't offer us much new. That, you know, it was exciting enough. It's good enough. It's not a bad movie, but it didn't offer anything. I always say, Andy, see if you agree with this. Okay. Sports movies need to be about something more than just the sport.
Yeah. Most of the good ones are.
Yeah. The good ones. Right. And, you know, this F1 movie, this Brad Pitt movie, it was fine. You know, exciting enough, but nothing special. And then I see this other movie that I was like, wow, this is really pretty similar.
Yeah. I mean, people, I haven't seen it, but people are saying it's Days of Thunder and meets Top Gun kind of thing.
Yeah.
I remember when Grand Prix came out. I've never seen it, though. Wanted to, but I never saw it.
Late 60s, I think?
Yeah, 68, 69, yeah.
I think so, yeah. I was just a toddler then, so.
Oh, yeah, right.
Me too.
Yeah. Andy really
Andy
was.
Literally was. Andy really was a toddler then.
Yep.
You know what else? I was just, you know, flipping around. I'm watching the old reruns here and there. You know the movie Yankee Doodle Dandy with James Cagney?
Oh, it's a classic.
Watched it three times.
It's a great movie.
You watched it three times?
I watched it three times.
This weekend?
How much of a loser am I?
Well, he thanks you. His mother thanks
you. My mother thanks you.
My father thanks you.
And I thank you. Now watch me tap dance. Cagney's amazing.
Another good 4th of July movie, though, is 1776.
Oh, that was on. I only watched a few minutes of it because I had to get back to watching another version of Yankee Doodle. I love that movie. Yeah. I love James
Cagney. And how many times have you seen it in prior years?
Oh, a million times.
A million times.
Thanks to Frasier Thomas and Family Classics.
Classics, yep.
A million times.
Yep.
And I love it. I love the story. I love the... the music, the songs, the dancing, the whole package. I'm sitting there listening to all that great music. You're a grand old flag. You're a high flying flag.
And forever in peace may you wave.
Oh, I love that.
You're an emblem of the land I love.
Over there. Over there.
Send the word over there.
Give my regards to Broadway.
You're listening to the abbreviated edition of the Dean Richards Sunday Morning Show.
Wow. And you wonder why we get preempted.
Yes.
You wonder why we're the first things to go when there's something better that comes along. I just absolutely love that movie.
Yeah, I can tell.
But watching it three times was a little bit of overload. I got
you. Okay, no, really, clarify this. You watched it three times in a row. It ended.
No,
you went
no.
back to the beginning.
No, it was on different times.
It was on different times.
Different times, different channels, different. You know, I'm flipping around. Maybe I've got a little too much spare time on the holiday weekend. Maybe that's the problem.
So I can see you watching this and then checking the guide what other channel is it on? It's on at 10 o'clock.
No.
I'm going to watch it there.
No, I went and, you know, it's like I watched it. I came in on the middle of it. So, you know, I watched it till the end. And then, you know, I went and did some stuff and ran some errands and did some cooking, and then, you know, several hours later, let me see what's on TV. Oh, Yankee Doodle Dandy's back on. Let me put it on again.
Maybe it ends differently this time.
Well, I wanted to see the part that I missed the first time because I came in on the middle of it.
Andy, can't you see him marching around to songs like You're a Grand Old
It's
Flag?
Hard not to. I mean, it's very patriotic.
It's extremely patriotic. He's talking to FDR at the end of the movie. Uh-huh. I love it. And I'm a big loser. And I need more hobbies. I think this conversation says all you need to know about me. Let's take a quick break, and we'll come back and reevaluate my life in just a minute on WGN. We'll be right back. 11:14. Dean Richards. Dean Richards, Yankee Doodle Dandy Sunday morning on WGN. Don't you stand a little taller when you hear this song?
Oh, we've got a parade going on in the newsroom.
I'll bet you do. You got a parade going on there most Sunday mornings. But, oh my gosh, that. You know what? They don't make movie stars like Jimmy Cagney anymore. They just don't. Can you think of anybody? Such a good actor, such a good song and dance man, such a good, just all the way around. Is there anybody like that now? I don't think
Can't
so.
Think of anybody.
I don't think so.
I remember over Christmas, Gilda, my girlfriend, and I were watching Irving Berlin's White Christmas.
Yeah.
And, well, you've got Rosemary Clooney, but also Danny Kaye.
Oh.
Did it all.
Kidding me?
Did it all.
Danny Kaye is one of the greatest performers ever.
Oh, wow.
Comedian.
Anything.
Serious actor. Well, humanitarian. Yeah. You name it. Danny Kaye did it, but... You know, it's just a different kind of... I can't think of anybody who would come close to Cagney now. Nobody. Tom Hanks is great.
Yes.
I don't see him doing a song and dance. Meryl Streep, we saw her sing in Mamma Mia. You know how I feel about that. I was rather vocal about that. But, nobody liked his... His dancing? Are you kidding me, Cagney? Can't beat that.
Well, it was just a different era, a different time.
I'm a Yankee Doodle Dandy, see? A Yankee Doodle Doodle Boy. Whatever
and
that.
We're busting out tonight.
Yeah. Yeah, and then he takes a grapefruit and smashes it into somebody's face. Is that Public Enemy? That movie Public Enemy?
I think it is.
Yes. Yeah. Nobody better. You kidding me? Mary's a grand old name. What else? I'm just looking at a list of George M. Cohan songs. Your grand old flag, give my regards to Broadway. Over there. What else? Yankee Doodle Boy, of course. Yeah. Good stuff.
George M. Cohan music.
Yep. George M. Cohan music.
Yep.
Which we will we'll do a big medley of his songs at the Tree Time broadcast later on this year.
Oh, we'll have a big arrangement for it and everything.
Oh, I'll be dressed in red, white, and blue. Kidding me?
Just very seasonal.
Yeah, right. Exactly. Was I going to tell you something? I forget. I'm scattered. Because Andy and I are broadcasting this morning live from 2501 West Bradley Place.
Correct.
Andy only steps away from the grand prize game buckets.
This is true.
But I am I'm in the big newsroom. But so we're broadcasting from the TV station. Schwani's at the radio station downtown, where the NASCAR event is going on, but I feel discombobulated, Schwani, not being able to actually see you.
I know. We're in different locations, and does feel a little out of sorts, but we make it happen. We make it happen. You've done the show in the past from various locations. I never forget the one time you almost locked yourself out of the room
in Toronto
and made it back with seconds to spare.
Yeah, in Toronto during the news. I was doing the show from Toronto at a hotel in Toronto, and during the newscast, I thought I would run down the hallway to the little boys' room, as they say, and locked myself out of the room I was in. And the only way for me to get back in was to run down 18 flights of the fire escape, come in the front door of the hotel, and go back up the elevator to get back in, to get somebody to let me back into the room I was broadcasting from. But we've done the show from New York, done the show from L.A. many times, done the show from London.
Yep.
I think we did it from Rome once also.
You may have done it there, but I always will have a good memory of you were in Las Vegas one Sunday,
yep.
And my dad and I were in Stockholm, Sweden.
Wow.
And we did the show there. So
you guys, I had you on.
We called in from Stockholm.
From Stockholm. I was in Vegas.
Yeah. Yep.
Wow.
That was cool.
Andy was in Little League then.
Probably.
He had a game that morning.
Getting some ice cream after it.
Right. Right. Boy, we've had some adventures on this show, I gotta say.
And there are more to come.
And there are many, many more to come. On the text line, let me see here. A lot of people actually on our text line suggesting that Hugh Jackman might be the new Jimmy Cagney. I guess. Just because he can sing and dance and also act. But I think Cagney's a much stronger actor. Yeah, I guess Hugh Jackman. I guess Hugh Jackman.
Okay.
Mandy Patinkin. Yeah, I guess I can see that. But
I saw a great one-man show by him years back now. It was terrific.
Timothy Chalamet, somebody is suggesting on the text line, is the new Cagney? No way. I like Timothy Chalamet. An actor, but just because he did one Bob Dylan role doesn't make him a song and dance man. I guess he would fall into that. I don't know. I'd have to see him smash a grapefruit
in someone's face.
that's the bar that I want them to achieve. Most everyone on the text line. Most everyone on the text line is saying Hugh Jackman. Okay, I guess. Who am I to argue? So I made grilled pizzas on my TV cooking segment this past Wednesday. It's one of the most popular segments that we do, where I try to offer up something special that you can do on the grill for the holiday weekend. Everyone does burgers. Everyone does hot dogs, and you know, certainly they're fantastic. I had a fantastic burger on the grill last night, but I just wanted to offer up something special. So for the past few years, really, I do these pizzas on the grill. They're so easy to do, and they are so delicious. I did a margarita pizza, Schwani, this year. Margarita pizza with pesto.
Oh, that would be good.
Does that sound good?
Yeah.
Just a basic cheese and tomato pizza with fresh basil. I put fresh basil on at the end. And in this case, I also took some pesto sauce. You can just get store-bought pesto sauce if you want to make it yourself. If you have the time, that's great. But a good store-bought pesto. And I just put a few dollops of the pesto on the pizza. And it was absolutely delicious. Really, really good. I made, how about this one? This is a new one that I made. Italian sausage with jardiniere.
Ooh.
Hot jardiniere.
That would be great.
Regular style pizza. I've got all the recipes. I've got all the directions, the proportions, the videos. Everything. We've got it all posted online, wgntv.com/DeanCooks. The Italian sausage with, a good quality jardiniere. A little spicy, but oh, baby, is that good. That is really, really, really good.
Do you make your own crust?
I don't when I do it on TV. Just because it takes too long.
It takes too long, sure. Yeah.
So I use, I'm all about simplicity. I mean, you make your own crust. It certainly is delicious. But if you're out on the grill, and it's 90 degrees outside, you don't want to be outside kneading dough and all that stuff. Even if you make the dough ahead of time, you buy yourself some of these pre-made bobbly pizza crusts.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
They're pretty good.
Yeah.
They are very, very good. You and basically what I do is I take one side of the bobbly, I put it on the grill, straight on the grill, indirect style. I don't put it right under the heat, but I put it, you know, on the side where there's not direct flames. And I toast one side of the pizza crust. When it gets lightly browned, I take it off. I flip it upside down. So now the cooked side, the side that I just toasted, is on top. And that's where I put the toppings. And usually it's a pizza sauce. In the case of the margherita pizza and the sausage and jardiniere pizza, I just put a thin layer of pizza. You can use pizza sauce. You can use a pasta sauce, a jarred pasta sauce, thin layer. I put the sliced tomatoes for the margherita, the mozzarella cheese, slices of mozzarella cheese. Put that back on the grill until it melts, and then I put some fresh basil on top of it. For the barbecue chicken pizza, this is by far the most requested recipe that I have. And I'll tell you what, you will not be disappointed with this amazingly delicious pizza. I put a thin layer of barbecue sauce on the pizza. I put roasted chicken. You can just get a rotisserie chicken and chop it up. I put pieces of roasted chicken all over the pizza. I've caramelized some onions ahead of time, so they're nice and sweet. And I put that on top of the pizza. A little bit of mozzarella cheese, a little bit of Parmesan cheese, put it on the grill, let it melt, and serve it. It's one of the most delicious pizzas that you will ever eat in your entire life, I promise you that. But here's the one that was really different that I did. I took some zucchini and cut it in half, all right? On top of the, now on the flat side of the zucchini, I put three pieces of pepperoni. On top of the pepperoni, some mozzarella cheese, put it on the grill, let it melt. It was the most delicious. It was like zucchini pizza, except the zucchini was the crust instead of regular crust.
That could be a great appetizer, too.
That's exactly what I did. I cut the long zucchini, I cut in three pieces like an appetizer.
Really awesome. Good. Yeah.
Yeah. So the recipes are all at WGNTV.com/DeanCooks. Right back after this on WGN.